You have a scripture, Barb, so go for it.
Oh, praise God. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's one of my favorite choruses, Darren. And whenever I get fearful, which isn't a whole lot of times, I get white-knuckled when you drive through traffic. That's true. But
are you hanging on this morning?
I know. Oh, but
well, I missed the guy by 6 inches.
Oh,
what's
I know,
your problem?
I know.
I missed
six
him.
Whole inches. That's right. Oh, and you slammed on the brake and everything back in the back of the Blazer came forward. And oh, it's just such a wonderful experience. And those are the times when I take 2 Timothy 1:7. Oh, friends, you've got to have that totally memorized and sing it. God has not given us a spirit of fear. One of my favorite choruses. But he's given us a spirit of power, spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. And that spirit of fear comes from the devil. It does not come from God. He's not given it to us.
You know, one of the reactions that I see here is that and many times, there have been quite a few studies that show that there's not a whole lot of difference between the number of people that are sick in the body of Christ and those that are in the world that supposedly don't know about Jesus. I think that's a tragedy. And I also know that fear and anger happen to feed cancer. I know that. I mean, my grandmother died of cancer. My dad died of cancer. And I've been around a lot of cancer, and I hate it. It's an enemy, an absolute enemy. But there was a study in Great Britain that found that among spirit-filled Christians, there was a higher incidence of cancer in that population than there was in the general public.
Wow.
Barbara, that is a tragedy. That is a tragedy. That's a slap in the face of God. Now, I want to say this to you. Many of you try, through pills and medications and prescriptions, to mask over, to treat the symptom of the spirit of fear. You're messing with the symptoms. If you don't get a root spirit, guess what? The face will change on the thing and it'll still get you. There's not enough counselors, and a lot of the counselors aren't praying. They're just sitting there talking, beating their gums over your problems. And, well, folks, that is not the answer. That is not the answer. I watched that when I was in the school district. We watched psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors talk to these kids, and they weren't getting better. The next year, they were worse. Mm-hmm. And they gave the parents a snow job with a bunch of educational jargon. And folks, we do the same thing in church today. In many cases, we're not getting down to say, you know why you're fearful? Let's talk about why you're fearful. There's a spirit of fear that's harassing your life, and we have the authority in the Word of God to get rid of that, so let's go for it.
Yes.
And I think we got to nail it, call it what it is. It's a raw spirit of fear, and it comes from the pit of hell.
It does.
And Christians, you don't have an option to hang on to that thing. It is not a good friend.
Well, we talked about the generational curse. Another thing that fear comes from, Darren, is mostly found in families, and usually it's in manipulation and control. And this is a horrible form of fear. And we see wives who are so fearful because their husband has said, if you ever try to leave me and take the children with you, I'll find you and kill you. You know, you're dead. You're dead meat. And this manipulation and control is no longer a relationship, a husband-wife relationship built on love. It's built on paralyzing fear and somebody manipulating and controlling the other party. It's horrible.
See, I believe that comes from a Jezebel spirit many times, a spirit of control and intimidation, irrational thinking. And, you know, we did watch a television, in fact, just last night, of a lady that had been intimidated for 20 years by her husband, and she knew that he had killed an old lover and hid her body in the forest.
Yes.
Well, she kept this, and she was intimidated by this monster, this man she called her husband, for 20 years. He beat her and beat all the kids and all this kind of stuff. I mean, that family was just full of the devil because of a spirit of fear, intimidation, anger, murder, and so on.
Oh, yeah.
And all the threats that she was having to live with. But you know, it's not a new story. In the Old Testament, Exodus 14, when the people saw Pharaoh and his army pursuing them, they became very frightened. And fear does cause irrationality. And I want to tell you, folks, if you hang in there, you'll find that a lot of the times the fear that we have is the same fear that was shown in the Old Testament. And if we go to those stories, here's Pharaoh bearing down on them, and they're running for their lives because God had just taken them out of slavery, and they're looking around saying, what in the world is going on? You know, it would have been better if we'd have stayed back there in Egypt. There were plenty of graves in Egypt. We could have died back there. And at one point they said, is God with us or not?
Yes.
And I've heard people say things like this, which is a real slap in the very face of God. I wouldn't treat my dog that way. Why doesn't God come through and do something here? And they'd given into fear, and then he got into resentment, and then he got into anger toward God, instead of going and saying, okay, what can we do here? Does God have a solution for us? And they caved in, and they gave in, and I'll tell you, they lost the battle because of fear.
Well, in just 13 chapters before, the sons of Israel were tormented with their heavy burdens, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. God heard their groanings. He brought a deliverer in the form of Moses, but 13 chapters later, they wanted to go right back to all of that bondage and slavery, and that's what fear causes.
And you know, if they'd have hightailed it back to Egypt, they would have killed them all, because their firstborn had been killed by the Lord God that was in their midst, and they had to know that. And yet they were willing to cave in and say, let's go back, we missed the leeks and the garlics, and at least we were slaves, but we had food and we had meat and we had all these things. And they were complaining to Moses.
I would like to cover, we were talking about manipulation and control just a little while ago. I would like to talk more of the forms of fear and what they come as. And we have tradition of man and fear of success and poverty and unknown things that are unknown and rejection. And before we get into the causes and what fear causes in our lives, I would like to talk about some of how fear appears to us and how it gets in our lives. And I believe that's really important, Darren, to talk about tradition, how people are kept in bondage and fear. And your dad, you know, he was kept in fear a lot of his life because of the tradition that he was brought up in. And your mom also. She was brought up in tradition of having a pharmacy in her house and being sick all the time. Sick was part of her identity because she was brought up in that tradition.
Well, we had our own pharmacy in the bathroom. We didn't need Walgreens. We had it all lined up there. You know, we had 50 or 60 different things. And, you know, I've shared this in seminars. In fact, my brother, 9 years younger than I am, was there one time, and I embarrassed him to absolute tears. I said, you know, when everything failed, there was always an enema bottle. And in fact, when we were cleaning out Mom's house, I found the enema bottle and I gave it to him, just embarrassed him again. But you know, all of the family, in fact, I talked to a guy that he says, you know, we always had an enema bottle around. In fact, he said, I had some fear when I went to college. I thought, who was going to give me an enema? I thought, come on, give me a break. Did you say what I think you said? He said, yes.
When he was in college?
He said, when I go to college and when I get sick, who's going to give me an enema? That was a traditional treatment in their household. I thought, well, I think maybe I've heard it all. But, you know, families have these traditions. And I
didn't think you were going to talk about
it. You didn't think
that.
I was going to share that? Well, I just
okay.
did. Okay,
all
if
right.
If you don't like that, why, throw the tape away.
Oh, but those silly things, those really stupid things are what some people are caught up in, Darren. And like my family, we have had a fear of not having enough. And I have several uncles who are well off, wealthy men, and they still don't have enough. And
they're still living in poverty.
It grieves me. That's right. Mm-hmm. They're still living in poverty. Poverty is another source of fear, a fear of success. Do you know there are people that so fear success they are locked into mediocrity?
Well, let me tell you, Barbara, I have an example of two brothers, and I've used this little illustration a couple of times in my seminars, but you know, you go to one brother's house, and he's got rubber bands on all the doorknobs. He's saved every paper bag, plastic bag that he's ever had in his life. He's got boxes up to the ceiling because he's saving all this stuff because he knows, he's absolutely convinced there's going to be another worldwide depression. The other brother is over there trying to leverage all the real estate he can get his hands on. He's going to buy the world. Mm-hmm. Now, both of them have the same root spirit. One decides he's going to attack it, and the other, you know, it's fear or flight. And or fear of fight, and one decides, I'm going to fight. I'm not going to take this sitting down. I'm going to buy all this real estate. I'm going to own everything in the city. And so he goes out, and he buys it any way he can. But you get down to the bottom line, they're both these boys have been raised in a fearful household. They both have the same spirit. One is driven to be an introvert, and one's driven to be an extrovert. But it's the same root spirit of fear, and it's in the family. It's a curse of the generation.
Yeah, so that's something that you can cut off. If you sense something that's going on, a cyclical characteristic in your family, that's probably a curse. And in Jesus' name, a simple prayer, Father God, in Jesus' name, I cut off the spirit of fear from my family. I say that the next generation will not have this curse of fear.